Take your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I am excited about this topic tonight. I plan on teaching this tonight. And I'll be honest with you, the more I dig into it, the more excited I get. I think this will be a very revealing, a very helpful, a very practical, and probably in some way, and I'm not going to use this in a charismatic way, but it'll be kind of a revolution to you as far as a truth that will help you. Tonight we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the work of God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the work of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read very quickly the first 13 verses. You ready? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Sound like the charismatics? I feel led. Okay? Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice that that Spirit is capitalized. That's talking about the what? Holy Spirit, all right? Now, verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to, watch these next two words, profit withal. Look at me. God said he will give you gifts of the Holy Spirit to profit with all. What's he trying to profit? The work of God. All right? He's not trying to profit you personally. He's trying to profit the work of God. Let's pick up in verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. Now, one of the most mistaught doctrines of the Holy Spirit is that of spiritual gifts. It is used often in tandem with the false doctrine of the universal or the true church. Now, I have to spend a few moments on this because this is where they get this evil doctrine. Listen to me very carefully. God gives to every man severally these gifts. Sorry, my illustration just fell out of the pulpit here. the Bible, look at verse number 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to how many men? Every man severally, as he will. That means this. The gifts are not given to you to focus on you. The gifts are not given to you as a show of your spirituality. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to you so that you can use them to profit with all, which means that you can increase the work of God with these gifts. It's that simple. Oh, I've got a word of knowledge. No, you had bad pizza before you went to bed. You had too many anchovies and onions on your pizza. Any anchovies are too many anchovies on pizza. But now, I want you to notice something. These gifts are not used instead of soul winning. They're used in accordance with your soul winning. God, through the Holy Spirit, will give you certain gifts so that you develop them, so that you now interact with a sphere of people that you would not have interacted with prior to developing that gift. That is what the gifts of the Spirit are for. Listen to me. And I just need to say this. People are not born with these gifts. You were not born with a gift of the Spirit, and somehow mysteriously you have to figure out what it is. Everybody doing okay? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives them to you as you will. Not as he wills, as you will. Look at verse number 11. Follow me. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, capital S or small s? Capital S. That's the Holy Spirit, right? Dividing to every man severally as he will. Is the H there capitalized? That means it's to every man, as every man will. In other words, the gifts of the Spirit are something that you ask for, and God helps you develop them. For instance, it says here, wisdom. My Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Hello.
Yes, sir.
You are not born with wisdom. You have to have a desire to seek wisdom. In that desire to seek wisdom, you develop that spiritual gift. And the more you get it, the more you use it, the more the Holy Spirit says, ha, they've got it. Let me give them a little bit more. And the more you use it, he says, they're really liking it. Let me spoon on a little bit more. Is that not what it says? Now, hang on. For instance, I love baseball. I naturally, you ready, Brother Barnes? Better take your arm down around your wife there, all right? Tony, don't worry. I won't hit you. I'll hit her, all right? I throw naturally right-handed. Brother Barnes doesn't naturally catch. Throw it back, okay? I can throw right-handed, overhand, sidearm, underhand, you name it. Brother Barnes can't throw or catch. Brother York, you ready? All right. Now, I don't naturally throw left-handed. I can throw left-handed, but it's not as natural to me. I've not developed throwing left-handed. Make sense to everybody? This is natural. That's not. I can still do it. I don't do it well. Hang on. Catch, Brother Smith. You're not going to pitch me, though. I love batting. Yeah. I'm a natural right-hand batter. I normally bat right-handed. But many, 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 many decades ago, I decided I was going to learn how to bat left-handed. I can bat equally left-handed as I can right-handed. I can swing the bat either side equally. I've gone to a batting cage and hit the first pitch right-handed, step across, hit the next pitch left-handed, and go through 20 pitches, hit all 20, 10 on one side, 10 on the other side. Say why? Because I developed the ability to swing both sides. It was something I desired to do. I did not desire to learn how to throw left-handed. It wasn't as necessary to me. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, it did make sense in certain games that I could bat left-handed. If I were against an opposing pitcher where a left-handed batter has an advantage, I just switch sides. Boy, does that frustrate them real bad. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are much the same. Sorry, I can't put them back in there without digging under here, all right? Now, listen to me very carefully. The gifts of the Spirit are given to those who want them to reach more people for God. You don't get wisdom from God to say, look how wise I am. God does not give you wisdom. These theologians that think they know more than God are not wise. They have a lot of factual knowledge. Most of it's not even true. They have a lot of facts all built up in their head, and they make it sound spiritual, but they don't have good sound wisdom. Why would God hide these gifts from you? You are not born with them, not knowing what they are. God says that the Holy Spirit gives them to each person, divides them out severally as each person wants them, as he will. Now, listen to me very carefully. God does compare the church to a body. Now, this is where the filthy doctrine of the universal or the unified, or Scofield calls it the true church, where people say, well, if you're saved and you've been baptized, you're part of the church. Everybody that's saved and baptized is part of a universal, invisible, true spiritual realm church. No, the word church means called out assembly. And Brother Smith, come here for a second. If I grab a hold of Brother Smith and put my arm on his shoulder, does my body become part of his body? No, these are two separate bodies. And I'm not going to hold your hand. But if I held his hand, we're still two separate bodies. We would be working together, but we are two separate bodies. Does that make sense? Thank you, sir. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to give you six statements about the church. Listen to it very carefully. Notice in this passage, when God compares the church to a body, he never lists a major organ. He uses no words about a heart, a brain, a head, or lungs. He does say an ear, an eye, a hand, and a foot. Make sense? Let me ask you a question. Can you function without your hand? Yes, you can. Can you function without an eye? Yes, you can. Can you function without a foot? Can you function without an ear? Huh. I guess then you might, well, let me go on. No one person, even the pastor, is so vital to the church that it cannot go on without them. Did you hear that? No one person is so vital to the church that even the pastor, if they're not there, that the church cannot go on. Hello. Now I'm preaching at me. Number three. By the way, pastors die. Churches continue. Pastors leave and go to other churches. Churches continue. Members come, members go. The church continues. Everybody understand that? Here we go. Number three. You not being part of the church can hinder the productivity, but it will not stop its existence. Did you catch that? You may hinder the church's productivity by not being or not doing what you should be in the church, but you will not stop the church. I've had church members in other churches tell me, well, I'm leaving this church and this church will fall apart. Don't let the door hit you on the backside on the way out. I always look at them and say, God's not going to die. God won't die. You know, if I lose my finger, my body will still function. I may have to rework how I do some things, but it will still continue. My dad, oh my soul, 15 years ago, lost vision in his left eye. He's gone 15 years. Doesn't have any vision for the most part in his left eye. He's about 95% blind in his left eye. Sneak up on his left side, you scare the snot out of him because he doesn't see you coming. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't mean his life stopped. Now, there are some things he has to do slower. He doesn't. There are some things that he has to do differently. There are some things that aren't working quite the same way because of that, and he's had to adjust to it, and it might slow him down a little bit. But may I say this, he didn't stop living because he lost the vision in his eye. Make sense to everybody? All right. By the way, the church will keep going even if you're not here. I hate to say that because I want everybody here. You say why? Because I want a body of believers for God that's productive and moving and flowing and doing all that it can at its optimum level. Number four, the pastor is the mouth of the church. I fit that one quite well, don't I? Let me make this statement. If the pastor is mute, it stops producing. I asked my secretary this question. I've asked a few other people. Show me one person in history that did not speak that was an ultimate producer. You won't find one. You have some that made strides in the deaf world, but you couldn't even name who they are. By the way, the Bible says that church members are to have an ear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's in Revelation 2:7, 2:11, 2:17, 2:29, 3:6, 3:13, and 3:22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches. Who does he speak through? The man of God. If the man of God is not speaking the word of God, the people aren't hearing it, and that's why you have churches. Number five, modern churches have pastors who want to be the brain of the church, but that's Christ's job. According to Ephesians 5:23, that Christ is the head of the church. He's the brains. He's the head. He's the central location of it all. That's why you've got these denominationalists, these modern fundamentalists who want to go a different direction than the Word of God says go. It's why they got their coffee shops. It's why they got all their high-techy stuff. It's why they got to follow the bouncing ball all over the place. It's why they got to have their giant screen TVs, their new music, their new dress standards. They've got to reach the intelligent crowd. No, we've got to go to expository teaching to go deep into the Word of God. Puke. They know more about the Bible than God even put in it. Hello. Well, you've got to have me teach it to you. No, you don't. You got the same Holy Spirit available to you that I have. Trouble is, the average church member won't do it, and you need to come to church and let the preacher clean your plow every once in a while. So, modern churches have mute pastors who want to be the brains of the church rather than letting Christ be the head of the church. By the way, 2 years ago when we started this church, I said, I am an assistant pastor still. God pastors this church, not me. I'm just his assistant. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Because God's in charge of it. God's still in charge of it, just so you know. All right, number six. Churches are deformed, maimed, and handicapped when members do not grow with or help get more people involved in the growth of the New Testament Baptist Church. Period. There is no such thing as a universal church. Just because you're saved, we will not be a universal church till the rapture takes place and we're all in heaven. Till we get snatched out, we become a called out assembly and all believers are in one place. There's no such thing as a universal church. Amen. Mr. Schofield is wrong. It's Calvinism and it's laziness because Mr. Schofield didn't want to go soul winning. Everybody doing okay? So, what are these gifts of the Spirit and how are they used? Again, you are not born with these. You will yourself to get help from God to develop them. You say, by your will, I need wisdom. Oh God, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, help me to have wisdom. And as you get the wisdom and you use the wisdom, the Holy Spirit says, wow, they enjoyed that. Let me give them another spoonful. And you keep asking him, he keeps giving. You keep asking, he keeps giving. You keep asking, he keeps giving. And as long as you keep using, guess what? You keep that avenue open and you gain, you build, you grow those gifts of the Spirit. Now, listen to me very carefully. And by the way, look at 1 Corinthians 12:11 one more time. I want you to see, I'm not just talking about it here. But all these, all what? These gifts of the Spirit worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as he will. As that man will. All right? Now, I have listed 8 different gifts of the Spirit. I combined 2 of them. There are 9, but the last 2 I put together. I want to run through them very quickly so that you know what they are. All right? Number 1, the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom. It's found in verse number, let's see here, 7. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now look at me. Wisdom, we taught on this for many, many weeks, is the ability to see life as God sees it. Looking at life from God's perspective. Hey, do you know the more that you see life through God's perspective, the more wisdom you get? Do you know that for the work of God and the building of the house of God and helping of the people of God, nobody had more wisdom in the world than Solomon? But Solomon never asked wisdom for his own personal life, and that's why it was all screwed up. We have some people here, I believe, that have the gift of wisdom. Say, who are you talking about? Talking about Kermit Ecker. Talking about Brother Brining. Talking about Brother Taylor. Talking about my dad. These are people that have been around long enough and have seen God do things from a whole different point of view. Everybody doing okay? All right. Now, these are people who step back from their own view and try to look at things from God's point of view. So many of us look at life through our eyes, not through God's eyes. I got to hurry. The gift of knowledge. This is not what your charismaniac friends on television say, "Ooh, I got a word of knowledge. Your name is Sally and you're to send me $1,000. Stupid people. These are people with an abundance of knowledge in multiple areas of life. These are people who have developed, and I'm going to use the word a lot of or an enormous amount of knowledge in many areas. By the way, they've done it so that they can relate to, associate with, and reach more people. Let me show you who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Brother Matt Smith, one of the most knowledgeable men in this church, is sitting right there, just so you know. Another one sitting right down here, Evan Barnes. Now, don't ask him about driving, but there's many other areas. Evan Barnes is a very intelligent man. I'm talking about Brett Williamson. And by the way, not just intelligent in one area, a multiple of areas. This is not a natural ability. Probably if you took their IQs, they're not on the genius range, but they have a very good broad knowledge. Say why? They have developed that, they have worked that, they have sought that so that they can reach more people. All right? Number 3, the gift of faith. These are people who have an unusual trust in God and the Word of God to make it through life. Now, everybody look at me for just a second. This one's going to bless your gizzard, amen? I thought about this. The gift of faith. Jim and April Tuning have the gift of faith. You don't know them like I know them. They've sat in my office and said, "Preacher, we got a decision. What do you think we should do?" I'll say, "I think you should do this." Okay. I don't even ask. How do we do it? This is how we're going to do it. And a couple of days later, preacher, God answered. Look what God did. That's an unusual amount of faith, just so you know. There's another family in our church, two more families in our church that are like that. Joe and Leanne Lopez. I don't know two people that I've known for the last 30 years that have as much faith as Joe and Leanne, promise you. They just have that kind of faith. There's another family in our church, and I am so proud. I've watched this develop in their life, and that's Ron and Tammy Kistner. They've got it. And by the way, just so you know, it doesn't come any more natural to them than it does you. They still have the same fears you have. They face the same trials. They just don't have themselves to lean on. They just trust God and say, here we go. Everybody doing all right? Okay. This is the one I'm about to shout on. Amen. The next one is the gift of healing. This is not walking up to somebody, slapping them in the head and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Ernest Angley is an idiot. Oral Roberts is a fake. Okay. These are people who can honestly help others either physically, emotionally, spiritually feel better. Hope Martin's sitting right back there. Hope Martin has the gift of healing. You don't get around Hope without feeling better, do you? Brandy has the gift of healing. Brandy can make you laugh even when you don't want to laugh. Kevin McFarland can make you feel better. Everybody doing all right? Our special needs people have a gift of healing, just so you know. We've got some other folks. Susan Smith, she's a nurse. She has the gift of healing. She's developed it. When she works at healing people. Ron and Julie Howard. They both work in the pharmacy industry, and their gift is healing. About 2 weeks ago, Ronnie called me and said, Brother Bush, he said, I got a family I work with, and they just need help. Man, I love that. Had it not been for somebody with the gift of healing, we would have never had a chance to help that family. It took the gift of healing to be able to do that. Everybody understand that? I'll tell you another family that's got it. And that is Mark and Leslie Rogers. I don't know of a couple that does more to try to help heal people than those two. They're just amazing at it. And they're very good at it. They have developed ways to physically, emotionally, spiritually try to meet needs and heal people up. By the way, that is the scriptural gift of healing. Everybody doing okay? Next one, the gift of miracles. This is the ability to get and help others get a true miracle of God. I got one name on my list. Evan Barnes just said it. Jerry Lowther. I don't know of a human being that I've ever met that's seen more miracles than Jerry Lowther. He is a walking miracle machine. He just is amazing. And by the way, he doesn't get them just for himself. Now, Jerry will tell you, needing one really stinks. You know, this is not one of those gifts you really want to have to develop unless God puts you there, all right? But if you're there, you might as well develop it. Next. The gift of prophecy. The word prophecy means this: to look ahead and see. These are people that can look down the road, see what's coming, and adjust so that you can face what's coming before you get there. Some of you float through life like a stick going down the creek. You really do. Just la-di-da-di-da-di-da. God bless you. Folks, I don't let life happen to me. I happen to it. I went to Florida for a wedding. And Florida is a different lifestyle. Florida is eternal vacation. I don't vacation well that way. After 2 days, my daughter was getting a little tense at some of the, let's just float with it, folks. And one of my boys said, man, back off. It's just kind of like vacation. I had to laugh, Brother Mark. She said, vacation is planned. Thought, well, know where she got that one. I thought, yeah, 3 days of that's enough for us, amen. Now, wait a minute. By the way, good people. And they were doing all they know to do. But Florida and California are two totally different worlds from what normal people live. All right? I don't do well that way. It's got to have a little bit more schedule to it. All right? Now, the prophecy is being able to see what's ahead, look at it, figure out what to do before you ever get there. The men on my deacon board have the gift of prophecy. They're developing it. They've developed it. We sit in meetings and they're looking down now, a couple weeks from now, a couple months from now, a couple years from now, a couple decades from now. We sit there and talk about things that will affect this church for decades at times. Say, what is that? The gift of prophecy. The ability to look ahead, see what's coming, adjust so we can get there with the least amount of damage. Next to last, the gift of discernment. The Bible talks here about to another discerning of the spirits. And I want you to notice, discerning of the spirits, and that's small s. Watch this. These are people who have the ability to quickly detect right and wrong motives in people. Ellen Moore is good at that. Have you ever been around Ellen? She can look right through somebody in a hurry. She's pretty good at that. I'll tell you another couple people that I know that are very good at it. Kathy and Gus Collin. They have the ability to look at somebody and say, I don't trust that one. They've been around enough doctrine to where something doesn't make sense. That's called the gift of discernment. All right? Then, lastly, and I have combined the last two on purpose because I believe they go together. Another diverse kinds of tongues to another the interpretation of tongues. Now look at me. The word tongues is the word language. It's not some heavenly jibber-jabber that nobody understands. Brother Stoltz is broken down in his truck again. Not here tonight. Bless his heart. Called me twice today. Dejected. He said, preacher, I'm trying. I said, I know, Brother Rich. He was gone over the weekend. His truck broke down, but he was able to lead a teenager to the Lord and get her to church on Sunday, and he was all ramped up about it. I said, Brother Rich, God knew that girl needed to get saved and get in church, and God broke your truck. He said, man, I'm excited. He said, but I miss home. I said, we missed you, but I'm glad you were there for that person to get saved. Amen. Now, listen to me. Rich Stoltz has the gift of tongues. He can speak Spanish like nobody. And I don't mean this in a, this is not racially meant, but he speaks better Spanish than any white boy ever spoke. The Latinos don't understand how he speaks perfect Spanish. He never took Spanish. He learned it on the streets of Chicago. And I mean, he has perfect Spanish. It's unreal. And it doesn't matter if they're Central American, doesn't matter if they're South American, doesn't matter if they're in the islands in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rican or Mexican, he can speak all of their dialects of Spanish. That is a gift he has developed. Now, my secretary, Mrs. Barnes, she speaks Polish. I mean, she married Evan. What do you expect? But she speaks sign language. She's developed the gift of tongues. She was out soul winning just a couple weeks ago. Knocked on a door, nobody came. She looked up, and there was a kid at the window, and she put a track in the door, and I don't know what she signed, but she just, out of habit, signed something like thank you or okay or something like that. And all of a sudden, the kid started beating on the window. And she looked back up, and he started signing to her. That one little flinch of sign language that she did said to that boy, she knows sign language. They held on a conversation, never opened the door, through the window. Say, what was that? The gift of tongues. Now, hers is fingers, but she needed 10 tongues, amen? That's that's what that is. The gift of tongues is not somebody getting up and speaking in some jibber-jabber, and the gift of interpretation is somebody else getting up and telling you what that was. I preached in Mexico a couple times. I had a man beside me that knew English. I would preach a phrase, he would say it in Spanish. I would preach a phrase, he'd say it in Spanish. I'd preach a phrase, he'd say it in Spanish. It's not easy to do. But he spoke in tongues that also could interpret. He had both. It wasn't just that he knew another language. He knew how to take whatever I said, translate it, and preach it out. Probably the best at it that I ever saw was a man named Tommy Ashcraft. He used to down in Monterrey, Mexico. Brother Ashcraft was a second-generation missionary in Mexico. Tommy would interpret for Brother Hiles preaching. Now, he was so good, he would say, Brother Hiles, just keep preaching. You don't have to slow down. I've heard all your illustrations. I know what's coming. You start them, I'll be able to finish them right with you. And he could. I mean, it was just like this. It's like two sermons going on simultaneously. It was amazing. He was good at it. I asked him one day, I sat down at lunch with him. I said, Brother Tommy, I said, do you think in English or do you think in Spanish? He said, both. He said, I literally think in both. He said, when I'm talking to the waiter here at the restaurant, I'm thinking in Spanish. When I'm talking to you, I'm thinking in English. He said, I don't have to translate either. Wow. It's not like he has to process it and decide what to say. It's just there. That's the gift of tongues. Now, folks, God did not birth you and put these little gifts inside of you and expect you to wait till Christmas 40 years into your life and say, Shazam, I found it. No. He said the Holy Spirit gives them to you as you want them. You know, every person in this room could learn how to speak a foreign language if you wanted to. You know that every person in this room could get wisdom if you wanted to. Every person in this room could learn how to discern better if you wanted to. Every person in this room could learn how to heal people's hearts better if you wanted to. You go through any of those gifts, and as you will, you can get them. It's not some spooky, spooky thing that someday you discover and say, wow, I found it. No, just like me with a baseball bat. One day I decided I wanted a bat left-handed. Swung like a girl, swung like a girl, swung like a girl, swung like a girl till I got through that thing. Then I started hitting that thing. Then I got comfortable with it. Then I started really rapping that thing. Then you couldn't hardly tell the difference between left and right-handed when I started batting. You say, why? Because I developed it by the hour. I didn't develop it throwing left-handed. I throw right-handed. I don't throw left-handed very well. Say, well, what's this all about, Brother Bush, to profit the church? Let me ask you a question. Everybody look at me for just a second. What part of our church is deformed because you won't do what you're supposed to do? What part of this church is not productive because you won't do what you're supposed to do? That's the question. What part is not functioning right? If that finger never grew from the time I was born, you'd say, whew, you got a deformity. And you would be hindered by it. It'll slow it down. Yeah, but I could still pick my nose with it. Big as my nose is now, I could shove it all the way up in there, probably. Now, wait a minute. It would still be there. But I wonder how many churches suffer from dwarfism because their members won't grow. Wonder how many churches have amputees everywhere, quadriplegics, because the members won't develop the gifts of the Spirit as they will. Well, I'm waiting for God to tell me what it is. I just don't feel led. God said in verse number 1 or 2, it's not a matter of you being led, it's as you will. Hello. Charismatics have been pumping that garbage in your brain. Well, am I going to do it unless I feel led? Well, if you're not careful, somebody's going to put lead in you somewhere. Then you're going to feel it, and it's going to be a hot lead. Folks, the Holy Spirit's gifts are there. So all you got to do is ask Him for them, start developing them, and start using them to reach more people. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We have been so mistaught about these gifts. These are not gifts you're born with. They're gifts you desire and develop as you wish. I wonder who needs to come to this altar tonight, get something right so that you can help build the work of God with your life.